Turn with your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of 1 John, chapter 5. 1 John, chapter 5, for the message this evening. While you're turning, I need to meet with all the men on the council tonight in my office as soon as church is over. All the men in my office, please. You're all in trouble. All the men's council, please. Right after service tonight, just be a few minutes in my office. 1 John chapter 5. This is a wonderful chapter. Wonderful chapter. You need to read this chapter regularly and be familiar with what is in it. I want to begin reading in verse 1, and I'm actually going to read the whole chapter to you. And so you follow along as I read. And normally I preach expository messages. Tonight I'm going to preach a topical message, just simply because that's the way it worked out. I was reading the chapter on Friday morning, reading 1 John, the whole book, really. And I got to the fifth chapter, and I kept reading that little phrase, "But this we know." But this we know. I read a little phrase. This is the record in verse 11. And a couple other places. These things have I written unto you that ye may know. In verse 13. Then this is the confidence. Verse 14. And it dawned on me, there are some things God wants us to know. You know, there are just things God wants us to know. And so I want to speak tonight on four things that God wants us to know from this chapter. There are many things God wants us to know, but four highlighted things that I want to call to your attention. So let's begin reading, please, in verse 1. The Bible says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. And he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not light. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he should pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. I want to speak to you from this chapter tonight and point out to you four things that God wants us to know. Let's pray together and in the message. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful testimonies that we've heard tonight. Lord, thank you for the wonderful music that we've heard tonight. My, what a blessing. And Lord, I pray that our hearts are now ready to receive the seed of the Word of God. And Lord, as that seed is planted in our hearts tonight, may it bring forth much fruit. Lord, we know that there are things in this chapter that you want us to understand, that you want us to grasp, fully grasp. And so, Lord, help us tonight to see these four little simple things that John stresses in this chapter. Lord, things that you want us to know, things that we should not doubt, that we should not speculate on, things that we should not guess about, but Lord, we ought to know these four things. So I pray that you will speak to our hearts tonight and give us understanding of what we're about to hear, and we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the Apostle John, now remember, this is John, the beloved Apostle. This is the one that wrote the Gospel of John. This is the one who referred to himself as that disciple whom Jesus loved, the disciple that rested his head upon the Lord's chest as he was, as the Lord was speaking to them at the dinner just before Christ was arrested. This is John, the beloved Apostle. And one of the apostles' favorite words, you'll find it in his gospel, you'll find it in his epistles. It's used in all five of his books, also in the book of the Revelation, is the little word light. It seems that John just loved to tell us how Jesus made much of the great truth that he came into this old, dark, sinful world to be a light to shine in that darkness. And John uses this concept that Jesus is the light of the world over and over and over throughout his writings. Folks, God is not in the business of keeping people in the dark. And that's the reason that that John refers to him all the time as the light. John expresses to us and explains to us that Jesus is the light of the world. The Word of God is a light unto our path, and it is unto our feet, and a lamp unto our feet, and a light unto our path. Now, what is darkness? Darkness is simply the absence of light. Jesus said that he was the light of the world, and that was true, it is true, and it will always be true. The light of the glorious gospel is still shining, as we heard given in testimony tonight. The light of the glorious gospel is still shining, and folks are still able to come to Christ, and are still able to get saved from the darkness of sin, and of death, and of hell. Wherever the gospel is proclaimed, there is light and there is hope. And so John takes this final chapter here, and as he is recapping what he has written, and he is kind of summing it up and giving a little bit more detail about Christ being the light of the world, in this great chapter, John gives us a few things that God wants us to know. God does not want us in the darkness about these things. And I want to speak to you this morning, give them to you, or tonight, give them to you as they unfold in the chapter. First of all, I want you to look at verse 1 and 2. And I think the first thing that God wants every single one of us to know, I don't think there's any room for doubt here. God wants us to know this. We need to know, first of all, that we are saved and on our way to heaven. We need to know that. Look at the first two verses of this chapter. John writes, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Folks, we need to know that we're saved. How do you know that? You can know that by your relationship. You know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, how do you know that? You know that by faith. None of us were there. I wasn't there 2,000 years ago. But listen, God put that light, that truth in His Word, in the Bible. And when I heard it preached, I believed it. When you heard it, you believed it. Whether it was the soul winner that gave it to you, whether you heard it in a revival meeting somewhere, whether you heard it here in a church service, or you were in the hospital and somebody came and shared it with you, or you read it in a gospel tract, it doesn't matter where or when you heard it, you just heard that Jesus is who He said He is, and when you heard it, by faith, you believed it, and folks, that is what makes you a child of God. Your faith in the word that was written about Jesus. By faith, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah of God, the Son of the living God. Can I remind you that one of the sub-themes of the Bible, it is found four times, is the just shall live by faith. Paul said, for by grace are you saved through faith. The writer of Hebrews said, and we know that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So we need to know that we're saved. How can we know that? Folks, it is a matter of faith in the promises, in the light that is revealed in the Scriptures. And you can know that. I want you to notice that this faith is in a person. We must have faith. But that faith must be directed in the right place. Our faith is not to be in a person, in a man. Our faith is not to be in a church. Our faith is not to be in some deed or some effort, some work on our part. Our faith is not to be in some pastor somewhere. Our faith is not to be in some religious duty that we do. Our faith needs to be directed at one person, and that one person is the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to know Him. And folks, the only way you can know God is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I remind you that Paul said there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. There is no other way. I cannot mediate on your behalf to God. I cannot do it. But the Lord Jesus can. And the only way that we can know the God of heaven is through His Son and through that new birth experience that Jesus brings and has available to everyone. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, look at verse 1, is born of God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. In order to know that you are saved, you must be born again. You know, folks aren't saved by osmosis. You know? You're not saved by osmosis. I mean, you can't come and sit in a church house and get saved. That's not what saves you. Our salvation is in a person. And it is in faith in that person. And so, as clear as John knows how to express it, he said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born again. Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Now, you were born the first time in a physical birth. But in order to know God, you must be born a second time, which is a spiritual birth. I was born the first time on September the 10th in 1954, but I was born again on the last Sunday of October in 1970. My first birth was a physical birth. My second birth was a spiritual birth. I was born the first time into the family of Norse and Norma Belcher. I was born the second time into the family of God. That's the new birth. My first birth was of earthly parents. My second birth was through my Heavenly Father. And folks, the point is, this is something that all of us can know for sure. And I want to ask you tonight, do you know for sure that you're saved? God doesn't want you in the darkness about this. You need to know that you 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 are saved and on your way to heaven. Do you know that? I talk to folks all the time and ask them, do you know for sure if you were to die that you'd go to heaven? And they'll get this real goofy look on their face like they haven't got a clue what you're talking about. And they'll, well, you know, I sure hope so. No, you can know that you're saved. You can know it. And that leads me to the second thing. As first of all, we need to know that we're saved. Secondly, we need to know that we are secure in Christ. Look at the 11th verse. He said, or the 10th verse, I'm sorry. He said, he that believeth on the Son of God. That's the same thing he said in verse 1. He just saying it again in a different light as he builds on his point. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself that he that believeth not God hath made him a liar because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record. Now, folks, John's about to tell you what the Bible says. This is the record. This is what God says. That God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You know, folks, really, when you look at mankind, when you look at the whole world, there's really only one kind of person on this planet, and that's sinners. But now, wait a minute, there are two kinds of sinners. There are saved sinners, and there are unsaved sinners. There are sinners that have been to Christ for forgiveness and have eternal life, and this life is in the Son. Verse 12, there are sinners that have not come to Jesus, and they do not have that life yet. But we're all sinners, but there's two kinds of sinners, saved and unsaved. And John's point here is you can know that you are a saved person. You can know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. Look at verse 13. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. Now, folks, listen. If you believe on the record, on what God says in His Word about Jesus, if you believe that, John's point is you can know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. Now, you look right here. You are looking at a guy who believes with every fiber of his being that I am saved and on my way to heaven. I don't doubt that, not for one second. I do not doubt that at all. I would hate, now you think about it, folks, I would hate to live my life thinking that my salvation was based on a foot race between me and the devil to the pearly gates. Isn't that right? You're no match for him. Your salvation is not based on a foot race between you and the devil. My friend, the day you called upon the name of the Lord, every sin that you have ever committed, every sin that you ever would commit, is washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you are saved for eternity right there. You say, well, you know, I can understand how he could forgive me of my past sins, but how could he forgive me of sins I haven't even committed yet? Wait a minute. Back here, when he died on Calvary's cross, all your sins were future. All your sins were future. You say, wow, that's amazing. I know, we sung about it this morning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It is amazing. It certainly is. But we can know that we're saved. You say, well, how do we know that? We know that because of the testimony of the Word of God. Folks, how did we get saved? We got saved by believing in the Lord Jesus, by believing that He is who He said that He is, and that He can do what He said He can do. He said He could save me, so I believe that, and I trust Him as my Savior. Listen, the Bible is written so that I, as a believer, can know that I am born again. I'm saved and on my way to heaven. Look at that 13th verse again. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may speculate. No. That's not what it says. That ye may hope. That's not what it says. That you may be 83% sure. No, it does not say anything about probabilities. It says that this book right here is written with the record of what Jesus did for us, and we have it, and when we believe in Him, we can know that we're saved and on our way to heaven. Amen. You can know that. God said that if we believe, He will save. You know, one of the greatest verses in the Bible, and a verse that all of us know by heart, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. All right. Now, let me ask a question. Brian, when were you saved? What year was it? 2002. All right. Let's say that right here is 2002. All right. Right here is 2002. Over here we are today, 2009. I knew that. I don't know. Somebody stole it. It's Christian stealing. It's okay. 2009. All right, now wait a minute. Think about that verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have, what was it, Brian? Everlasting life. Now, when did you get that? 2000 what? This is not a trick question. 2002, okay? Now, what did we just learn about that salvation that He got? God gave him everlasting life. Now, when did you get it? 2002. So it was everlasting in 2002? You with me? That means, dear friend, if it was everlasting in 2002 when He got it, it's still lasting today. Now, does that make sense to you? You know, it's time we just read the Bible and believe it. Quit parsing the Scriptures. Quit tearing them apart. Quit trying to explain somebody's doctrine. Just read it and believe it. And let God bless you with the understanding that you can know for sure that you're saved. I know this because God promised it to me right here in this passage of Scripture. Look at verse 11. This is the record. And the record is that God has given us eternal life. We didn't deserve it. We still don't deserve it. We're sinners. But John says that it is the record. God has given unto us eternal life. We didn't earn it. We can't earn it. It is a gift. God has given it to us, and it is in the Lord Jesus Christ and in His precious promise in His book that I know that I am eternally secure in Christ. I'm not eternally saved because of me. I am eternally saved because of the record. Jesus is the one that saved me. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Man, not a one of us deserves it. But thank God for His eternal security. God wants us to know that we're saved. Third, look at verse 14. We need to know that God hears us when we pray. We need to know that. Look at what he said in verse 14. John said, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. We need to know, hey, Christian, listen, I'm trying to help you tonight to know how to be happy in Jesus. I'm trying to get you tonight to know, to see how you can be serving and not be in and out and up and down and cold and hot and on fire and weak and the next week. I mean, how can you just get in there and do something for God? Well, you need to first of all know for sure you're saved. How many of you know that? Say amen. Amen. All right. You need to know that you are secure. How many of you know that? Say amen. Amen. All right, so thirdly, you need to know that you can pray and God hears and answers your prayers. We need to know salvation. We need to know security. We need to know supplication. I mean, we just need to know that when we pray, God hears us when we pray. God wants us to know that we can be confident that he hears us. Folks, listen, if God loves you enough to save your soul, doesn't that give you confidence to believe that he hears you when you pray? Man, how wonderful is this precious promise? You say, but, well, Pastor, I'm just not sure God hears me. Oh, he hears you. The question is, are you praying? Yeah, it did. Got real quiet right there, didn't it? I noticed that. You know, think of it. He hears us when we pray. But you know, Brother James told us, we have not because we ask not. We have not because we ask not. And folks, listen, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. I mean, it's not God's fault that we're not getting answers to prayer. It's ours. We're not praying. We have not because we ask not. You know, we're such an affluent society, such an affluent world today. We don't have to pray for daily bread. We just go to the store and buy it. I mean, we don't have to, when we're thirsty, we just go to the spigot, turn it on, get a drink. When we're hungry, we just stop at McDonald's. You know, we stop at the grocery store, we just go to the fridge, open it up. But dear Christian, listen, we need to start praying and we need to realize that God hears and answers prayer and we need to start praying. I'm telling you, Christians, we had better wake up and start praying for our country. We better wake up and start praying for the United States of America as we sit and watch our country being stolen by those that despise God and his truth. Amen. Better be careful now. I tell you, we're at ease in Zion. We've been blessed and now, we better get back on our knees, church. You better start praying for revival. You better start praying for the soon return of the Lord. You better be praying for your children to know the truth. We better be praying for our children that they'll grow up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But you know, if we don't ask, then we're not going to receive. Can I meddle just a little? Just a little. I got something that's been burdening my heart. For a while, I just haven't known how to say it. But I'm going to stick it in right here because I think it needs to be said. And, you know, the church is filling up again. We probably need a few seats anyway, so. Every time it gets full, I run everybody off. I don't know why that is. All I got to do is preach on the King James Bible. That's it. Boom, they're out of here. Thin the herd, then we got to start all over again. But I need to say something here. My friends, listen. I look at my grandkids, and I wonder what kind of world do they have in store for them if the Lord tarries his coming. I thought about it a minute ago when these young people were up here singing. And what's the age group of this group that was up here? They're what, 10, 11? Huh? 10, 11, 12 years old. I sat there and thought, oh my goodness, bless their hearts. bless their hearts. Folks, you better be careful. You better be careful about your children. You ought to be careful about where you send them to school. You better be careful. You would not believe what's going on in schools. I'm talking about right here in Carroll County. You would not believe what's going on in Bible colleges all over America. I am so, so distraught. I'm talking about Bible colleges all over America. It grieves my soul. I mean, your children, now you listen to me, Mom and Dad. Some of you got kids in junior high and high school right now, and you're going to have to be making, if the Lord tarries his coming, you're going to have to be making some decisions here in the next few years. You need to send your kids to a college where they're not going to be taught a set of standards and given a philosophy that is different from the one that you raised them in your home and in the Church of the Open Door. Now, let me serve notice on you. If the Church of the Open Door and the philosophy that was given you in the Church of the Open Door was good enough for your kids from the nursery all the way through high school, then bless your little pea-picking heart, that philosophy is just as equipped and just as good for them when they're in college as it was back then. And I am sick and tired of our kids going through our church, going through our programs, going through our Sunday school, going through our master's club, going through our youth department, and going off to some Christian school and coming back at the end of their sophomore year, and they all of a sudden have a change of philosophy, and they don't like their church, and they don't like their music, church music. They don't like the youth pastor. They don't like the pastor anymore. They don't like soul winning. They don't like the Bible. They don't like this. Well, let me tell you something, my friend. You won't have that problem if you will start praying right now for your children and start directing them to go to the right school so that they don't get taught a philosophy that is contrary to what you have been drilling into them for the last 18 years. Now, pray tell me, why do we do that? Huh? Why do we do that? You say, well, Pastor, what am I supposed to do with them? You stick them into college here. Stick them into college here. You say, well, my kid wants to be an accountant. All right, let them live at home and stick them somewhere where you can keep an eye on them. Don't send them off to some quasi-Christian thing where they're going to get pelted with the world. Because I'm telling you, folks, it's going to get them. I sit here and I watch it. Over and over and over, and it grieves my soul. Now, I'm begging you, get on your knees and start praying for your children. I'm begging you. Listen, I'll tell you another thing. They are more likely than not going to meet the person that they're going to marry while they're in college. Amen. More than likely. You don't want them falling in love with someone and marrying someone who does not hold the same spiritual values that you instilled in them. And I think too many of our young people are going off to colleges with the hope of making money, and they're not going for the purpose of finding the will of God and doing the will of God. And Mom and Dad, I'm telling you, you better be careful. I mean, the end of their sophomore year, they bring this thing home, and here he is, Dad, and you're sitting there going, good grief. Where did you get that? Take it back. It's too late then. It's too late then. Are you listening? That's it. I'm never coming back. I know. That's why I gave it to you before you left, so you'd know the truth before you left. We got people all over Carroll County know the truth. You're welcome. I started praying for mine when they were babies. Boy, when they went to college, oh God, please lead them to the right person. Lead them to the right person. Lead them to somebody that is the person of your choice. There is nothing any more hurtful than to watch your children go through an ugly divorce. Especially if there's children involved. There is nothing any more hurtful on the planet. I'm telling you, folks, you can pray and God hears you when you pray. And I'm just telling you, you have this confidence. You know. John said, hey, you know. You have this confidence. If you ask anything, God will grant it if it's in His will. And man, you better get on your face and start praying for your children. Some of you got children at home. You better start praying for them. You better start now. Don't wait. Don't wait. Pray for your children. Pray for their future. Pray for God to put His hand upon them and lead them and guide them at every step, in every turn. And then number four. Look at verse 18. I'm not done with that, but I'm going to let it go. I think you got the point. We need to know, number four, about the matter of sin. We need to know about salvation. We need to know about security. We need to know about supplication. And we need to know about this matter of sin. You say, well, Pastor, you said a while ago that when I got saved, all my sins were forgiven. Yep, that's what I said. So far as the penalty of sin is concerned, that's exactly right. You never have to face the penalty for sin. What's the penalty of sin? The wages of sin is what?
Death.
That word death means hell. You say, well, how do you know that? Because Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The wages of sin is death. So when you get saved, God forgives you of every sin you've ever committed, every sin you ever will commit. And if something should happen to you between now and the time you die, you're going to heaven. You're going to heaven. Because your sins are under the blood. But now, wait a minute. You got saved, but as you go through life, you still sin. So do I. Now, I don't sin as much as you do, but I'm joking. I'm making sure you're awake. Although in some cases, I know I can say that. One just went out the door. He'll be back. There he is. See, right there. All right, folks, listen. We need to know about the matter of sin. Look at verse 18. He said, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. He said, wait a minute. I don't sin? Well, go back to chapter 3, and you'll see what John's referring to. In chapter 3, verse 10, or verse 8, I'm sorry, it said, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Chapter 3, verse 8. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might what?
Destroy
the works of the devil. All right, look at verse 9. Whosoever is born of God, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Why? For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now over here in the 18th verse of the 5th chapter, he says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now, what's that mean? Here's what it means. Look at me. When you got saved, God forgave all of your sins. You are completely forgiven of your sin. And the Word of God has washed you. It has cleansed you. It has purified you. Your soul is secure in Jesus. Look at the rest of the verse. It says, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. You are in Christ. You are forgiven. You are a child of God. You have been washed in the blood. And there is therefore absolutely nothing that sin can do to change that. There's nothing that the devil can do to get you unsaved. No, when you get saved, you are eternally saved, forgiven. Your soul is washed clean, and nothing is ever going to change that. That's what he's saying. You say, well, Pastor, I still sin. Yep, and that sin is a barrier to your fellowship. That's why John wrote in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 and said, look at it, just flip back two chapters, look at it, verse 9. He said, we confess our sin. He sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, what we ought to do is realize I'm forgiven, I'm saved, I'm washed in the blood. When God looks at me, he does not see me with sin on my soul. He sees me washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm pure and holy in his sight. I'm secure. But now, wait a minute, I'm still going to sin. And that sin, every time, it is a barrier between fellowship. It is a barrier. And so what I need to do is keep short accounts with God. I need to pray. I need to walk with the Lord. I need to read his word. I need to be in church. I need to not just be in church, but do something for the Lord in through the church. All right? So we grow and we serve, and we have the power to serve the Lord. Look at verse 19. He said, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in the wicked in wickedness. We know that. But we are of God. Now that means something, folks. You're of God. You don't have to be defeated. You don't have to be discouraged. You don't have to walk around with your face along. You can throw it out a four-story window, make a fire escape out of it. Man, you are saved. Your name is in the book. You've got a mansion that awaits you in heaven. Amen. You're on the winning side. Amen. So cheer up. See, but Pastor, you just don't know. I've lost my 401. I've lost my IRA. It's all gone. Well, so is everybody else's. You may not ever need it. And I'm going to write them a letter and tell them, if a rapture happens, just take what's left. You can have it. You've already stolen half of it anyway. So if a rapture happens, just help yourself to it. Amen. Legalized thievery. What was it? David Gibbs said, politic. Poly means many, and a tick is a blood-sucking insect. Boy, there's a lot of truth to that, isn't there? Four things God wants us to know. But folks, listen, out of the four, the first one is the most important because it's the main thing. If you don't know for sure you're saved, you won't know the others. You just won't know the others. You must know for sure that you're saved. You'll not know the others if you don't know for sure you're saved. And I hope that every person in this auditorium tonight will look deep into your heart and ask yourself, am I saved? And if the answer to that is, well, yes, I'm saved, all right? Are you secure? Are you secure? Man, I am. My security is based on the promise of the Word of God. Amen. Are you secure? Are you praying? Are you walking with the Lord? I mean, these are things God wants us to know. They're the very basics of the Christian life. And I just thought we needed to be reminded of them tonight. Amen. Four things God wants us to know. Let's bow for prayer.